Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about the law of supply and demand. This is one of those principles that I treat with the same reverence as a law of physics. It's like gravity to me. If you try to fight gravity, you're probably going to come out on the losing end of that battle. Back in the 1950s, we had explosive population growth in North America. This was the so-called baby boom. Demographics, following the apocalypse of World War II, meant growing population and the associated economic boom that comes with it. Now, we no longer have these conditions in our society. Many Western economies are experiencing aging populations, declining birth rates, and falling demand for housing, along with shifting demand for services. If populations are growing, it's the result of immigration. There's many ways in which people enter a country. Some are arriving on a temporary basis, either as short-term visitors or maybe as medium-term residents, such as those on a student visa or a temporary work permit. Then there are those who immigrate permanently, those who go through the sometimes lengthy process to gain permanent residency. Then there are those who enter the country illegally. The U.S. and parts of Europe have certainly experienced and continue to experience waves of illegal immigration. And finally, there are those who are asylum seekers who claim refugee status and are fleeing persecution in their home country. All of these contribute to the demand for housing. Some of the demand for housing represents opportunity for real estate investors to deliver a product at a price point that will result in a healthy return on investment. Then there's also demand for housing, which will ultimately put a strain on the country's social programs with very little opportunity for return on investment. Immigrants, regardless how they come into the country, on average do become very strong contributors to the society and the economy. Many countries are increasingly putting in place more restrictive policies on asylum seekers. Simply seeking to get a better life, migrating for economic reasons, is generally not considered a reason to be a conventional refugee under the Geneva Convention. So that puts the onus on the individual to claim asylum only if they're really fleeing persecution. And a lot of the new rules are putting the onus on the individual to claim asylum in the first safe nation they enter. So, for example, if someone is fleeing persecution in a country like, say, Cameroon or Nigeria, and they land in the UK, well, then the rules say they should claim asylum in the UK rather than country shopping to the US, Canada, or the Cayman Islands, or anywhere else. The US has implemented such a policy, as has Canada, and now most recently in the past week, the European Parliament. Some estimates put the number of asylum seekers in Europe above 1 million people this year, the highest level since 2015. Canada also implemented a similar policy about a year ago, and in March of this year, Canada closed what was considered to be the most popular illegal border crossing between the U.S. and Canada at Roxham Road. That's a road that terminates between New York State and the province of Quebec. In spite of these new policies being implemented, Canada experienced record immigration in this past quarter, with nearly 430,000 people entering Canada. That's about 1.1% population growth in a 90-day period. The last time Canada's population grew more than 1% in a single quarter was in 1957, and it consisted of a post-war baby boom combined with a huge surge in migration following the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. This is putting extreme pressure on demand for housing in Canada. The government of Canada has made public statements this past summer about restricting student visas in order to reduce demand for housing. But either these statements were hollow or maybe it was too late to take effect. The country has seen the population grow by over 1 million people, 1,030,000 people, for the first 9 months of 2023. That exceeds the growth in 2022, which was in itself a record year. The immigration targets for permanent residents were set to 465,000 this year. They're scheduled to increase to 485,000 next year and to hold steady at 500,000 by 2026. The problem is that Canada is not producing enough housing to keep pace with that level of immigration. It's expected that in order to make housing affordable, we're going to need an additional 3.5 million homes in order to restore affordability. The biggest issue facing Canada's housing crisis is quite simply the lack of skilled labor required to construct the required number of homes. Paradoxically, many builders and developers have put planned projects on hold in the past several months as a result of the spike in interest rates this past year. So, simultaneously, we have not enough trades available, and at the same time, we have trades that are sitting idle because of canceled projects. When you layer all of this together, the entire nation is experiencing a growing shortage of housing. In my home city of Ottawa, we're seeing a growing disparity between new and existing rents. some of the newest apartments are experiencing rents well above $4 a square foot, whereas older apartments are seeing rents in the range of $2 to $3 a square foot. And that's not just a reflection of age, but the pace with which landlords have been increasing rents in the marketplace. Occupied units are simply not available for rent, and the rent for new apartments is rising to meet the market demand. This represents an opportunity for landlords and developers to fulfill an acute need, and that shows no sign of being oversupplied for the foreseeable future. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.